Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out. I'm going to invite Bob up here. He's going to rebuke you guys today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody? Good? Hanging in there?
Good.
So, I was listening to a teaching this past week or so, and the pastor was talking about the scripture of Genesis 1:28. And it says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The teacher was teaching on being fruitful. And he made this comment that just really kind of stuck with me. He said that the fruit is the result of the perfect union between the seed and the water, the word of God and the relationship with God. So the two of those things go hand in hand. So I was really just kind of thinking about that kind of stuff. And, you know, just with farming in general, you know, a farmer can't yield a crop if he sows a seed and never waters it. And the same thing where he can't have a crop if he just waters it and doesn't plant a seed. It just doesn't work. So you get some rain, maybe you get some stuff out of there. But where my mind went with this was, what's the motivation behind the farmer? You know, why does he do what he does? And his motivation is the harvest. You know, Jesus talks about the harvest quite a bit. And the definition for harvest out of a dictionary says, the season for gathering in agricultural crops, the beginning of a harvest, the act or process of gathering in a crop, assisting neighbors in their harvest. It says a mature crop, as of grain or fruit, yield bountiful harvests. And the quantity of a natural product gathered in a single season, such as like fish and such as timber, some trees. And I just really got to thinking, like, that's really why Jesus came. Jesus came for those who needed harvesting. There's a few parts of scripture that I want to read out of Matthew and Luke, and I know Mark has a very similar account to Matthew's, but Matthew 9:10 through 13, it says, then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and began dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. He says, now go and learn what this means. I desire compassion rather than sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And the other verse I want to read is Luke 5:29-32. It's very similar, and we're going to stay in Luke for a little bit. And it says, and Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling to his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them and said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And Jesus has a heart for that harvest. You know, and that's what he came for. He came for people like you and I. And it was so important to him that he actually, and this was just something new that I learned this past few weeks, is he shows this to his disciples. And in Luke 5:1-11, Matthew and Mark have a very simpler version of this scripture, but 5-11 it says, "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets." And it's just funny, the picture, you know, they're washing up and Jesus just walks out, gets in the boat. And he says, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the land. And he sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon responded and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let the nets down." And when he had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both of the boats to the point that they were sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement has seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And likewise also were James, John, sons of Zebedee, who were their partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching people." I'm reading out of the NASB version. And it says, "When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." In this scripture, you know, they make a catch that they've never seen before. It was in such abundance that they couldn't even comprehend really what just happened. They needed both boats to haul this harvest in. You know, most of the time when we read the scripture, we're taught about the scripture, it's about provision and God's prosperity and his goodness, and it is. There's things are in there. But something that I was looking at in this scripture, and Jesus says two things here. He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And then he says, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching people." Matthew and Mark say fishers of men. I prefer catching because you can go fishing and not catch anything. So that's kind of how I am, like 95% of the time. So I like catching. Catching just sounds more productive. But when he says this, I want to propose that this is actually a prophetic act. That Jesus is really saying, when you deny yourself, you pick up your cross and you follow me, I will make your harvest so abundant you won't even be able to comprehend it. That when you have my heart for my people, you will understand my heart. And it brings me to Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is greater commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets." That's having a heart for that harvest. Jesus put the greatest focus on your relationship with God. And the second one is just as important, and that's loving your neighbors as you love yourself. And in this context, the word neighbor really just means the one in the closest proximity to you. Someone that you can see in your line of vision. And you know, we are to love them as we love ourselves. And it doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter their political viewpoints. It doesn't matter their gender. None of that matters. We are to love them And that's why Jesus came, to love them, like no questions asked. You know, and it could just, you know, it could just be as easy as seeing someone if you have a heart for, you know, people that are sick, or you can visually see something's going on, and just praying for them. You know, someone coming to you with a problem. I have a lot of people that come to me with problems and asking for prayer. And sometimes it's just that simple, just to pray. You know, we can change a person's circumstances and situation in an instant by praying for them and just watching Jesus move in their life. You know, it's our privilege to give them Jesus and his truth, and to point them to him so they can walk in their own created purpose and identity. That salvation life that Jesus gave for them. Now granted, there's some people that might need a little bit extra help, a little extra, you know, maybe smacking upside the head because they just don't get it. You know, you got to spend a little extra time with them. But, you know, that's why we have the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, which is probably the hardest out of all of them. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, these are actually things that we really, really need just to love well. And when we love well, we have that heart that Jesus has for his bride. We can actually start to experience that fruit, having peace in our lives when maybe we shouldn't have peace in our lives, or having joy in our lives when everything around us says that we shouldn't. But we also start to become those things, that we can become peace and give that peace to someone else when they need it, no matter what their circumstances and situations and things like that are. A lot of times life just really comes down on you and you just need something. And you don't sometimes just don't know what it is. You know, I see a lot of stuff. About John's favorite subject, fire and brimstone, being preached. And he said something to me about it this morning, so I just had to kind of point it out. I think that maybe that worked for a season, but it seems like today, when if you try to preach that type of a subject, it just pushes those people further away. And I'm not going to deny the fact that there are people that are going to hell every single day. You know, I don't want to, you know, discount that at all. But I got to thinking about this, you know, where does that responsibility fall? You know, if Jesus came for those people, shouldn't his church be going after those people? You know, I kind of have this feeling that if people are really around us that we know are going to hell, it's on our watch. You know, and there's just a lot of things that I see. I try not to go on Facebook very much anymore, but you still see, you know, different things. And one of the things that really bothered me a few years ago, they came out with that, was it Narcan? That stuff that, you know, you could buy, carry with you in case someone has an overdose. And there's a purpose behind it, but there are so many people that were just angry about it and very full of hate. And you know, I would see them just post, you know, if they're going to live that kind of a lifestyle, then, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, so be it. And that kind of stuff just really breaks my heart. I mean, that's not why. I mean, those people are the exact same people that Jesus came for. You know, and in Romans 2:4, it says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" You know, we can capture that harvest with God's kindness and his goodness. And it's not an easy task, but I don't think it's supposed to be easy. I think it just means that we need to have the heart that Jesus had for his bride. You know, Jesus was willing to do whatever he had to do to gather his bride. And we can see this if we move into Acts. You know, after the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they're up in the, you know, hiding up in the upper room, and they received the Holy Spirit. and they listen to Jesus. And in Luke 24:49, he says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." So what happens? They get filled with the Spirit, and they go out in the crowds, and they preach the gospel in every language. They thought they were, you know, hitting the bottle a little early in the morning. And what happens? It says that 3,000 were added to them on the first day. 3,000. And then it says, in the days after, God added to their number daily. I'm not saying that you're called to reach thousands of people a day or thousands of people a year, but you know, what if we just started with that one right in front of us? The one that we know needs Jesus, and instead of not saying anything, we just love them the way that he does. It could be that coworker that drives everybody nuts. I'm sure we all have some of those. Or that ignorant boss. I'm not going to look at anybody. Or just the person in front of us at the grocery store. You know, we can seed and water that harvest anywhere. Any walk of life, any religion, any political belief, it doesn't matter. We can sow seed. And if we're seeding and other people are seeding, we could be doing the watering also. So how do you know? How do you know what people or groups of people? The way you know is by your heart. If someone you talk to or someone talks to you about someone or a group of people, and it just tears on your heart, and you just have, you don't maybe not even understand what it is, you just have this thing and it just weighs heavy on you. You know, maybe that's your harvest. That's where you start watering and seeding into that harvest. And I know that, you know, if you're seeding and watering yourself, reading the Word of God and having that relationship, having that intimacy with him, you know, your Heavenly Father will tell you where he wants you to go. He has plans. You know, he has a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is really nothing short of amazing. And once we're part of that harvest, you know, and we're seeking God and what direction he wants us to go to and who he wants us to reach and even how he wants us to reach them, I think we can also still be part of a harvest. You know, even though that we know that we're sons and daughters, we still need Jesus. It doesn't make us, you know, that we don't need him at all. We need him in every single way. And, you know, we were once part of someone's harvest. We were once broken. Maybe we still are. Maybe there's things going on. We were once part of somebody's harvest too. And it's okay. It's okay to be on both sides of things. It's okay to be harvesting and be part of a harvest. Because maybe we're walking out in the beginning of our created purpose, and there's someone else that's supposed to speak into our life to break those chains, for we're just like all in. There's harvest and being harvested, and it's okay to be part of both. You know, just having that heart for the harvest, you can still be part of anything that God just really throws your way. And it's not going to be without direction. It's not going to be without provision. So, actually, I want to close with this. You know, if there's someone or some people in your heart, just press in. Press in to God. You know, seek your Father. Just seek it, and if it's weighing heavy on you, just seek him. You know, so often we get caught up in our own lives that all this stuff around us just blinds us to see really what God has in store for us. It just kind of takes our focus off of him. And I'm going to read Matthew 6:25-34. It says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, and they do not sow nor reap, nor gather crops in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they are? And which of you, by worrying," which is a big thing, it's huge, everybody does it, And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? You know, all that junk, that just, it just comes and the purpose of that junk in our lives is to distract us from our purpose and our value and our identities. You know, when we have faith in God's faithfulness, we count on him to provide. And we need and the things that we need and when we need it. And when we lay it all down and give it all to him, it frees our minds to have a heart for his people. No matter what he says or asks you to do or where he sends us, it is a privilege to partner with him. And we have the faith that he will supply everything we'll need to accomplish that goal that he sets for us. Amen? Amen. So if you want to stand, I'll pray. We can fellowship. If you don't want to stand, you don't have to. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your heart. I thank you for all the people and all the steps that you took just to get us, to bring us home. And I thank you for the identity you have given us. I thank you for the purpose you have given us. I just thank you for your faithfulness and your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking the well right here. I'm taking the well.